our next speaker is going to be Braden Tondre.
Howdy, y'all. My name is Braden Tondre. I'm a graduate student at Texas A&M University under Dr. Stephen Haig. And today I want to present my research, which is efforts to improve cotton production in Azerbaijan. The outline is I'm going to show y'all the background, my objectives, the materials and methods, followed by my results, the conclusion, and then some acknowledgments. Azerbaijan has a long history of cotton production in the Caucasus region, and ever since they gained their independence from the Soviet Union, they've slowly modernized their agriculture. And we've been working with AgriCenter to improve cotton production in that region. So we had two field locations, one's in Ganja and the other's in Mishli. When we fly in, we fly into Baku, and then we drive to Ganja, which is in the northwest region, and then head down to Mishli in the southwest region. Today I'll be going over defoliation trials, our variety trials that we performed, and then our nitrogen trials. We ended up using Baystar and Sunfinal, which are equivalent to Genstar and Prep. When we got there, we noticed that a lot of the cotton that they were harvesting hadn't been completely defoliated, and so it had problems with staining during storage production storage productions, and so our trials were aimed at improving those problems. We had seven combinations of Baystar and Sunfinal with three replications, and they were applied to eight rows, and then we took all our data from the middle rows. When we applied it at Garan, our rates weren't high enough, and so when we went to Mishli, we upped those rates and from the materials and methods. At Garan, we collected our bull opening data, and then at Mishli, we used a grab sample from the harvester. The treatments, because the treatments didn't respond well, we had to use hand harvesting at Garan. So 120 bulls, which was about 500 grams of sample. And then we ginned it out in a roller gin, as you can see on the left, and that is at Mishli. From our results from our HVI and APHIS, we noted that treatment 4 was probably one of the best desired rates of defoliation, and we found that a single application and low rates of Baystar and Sunfinal were inadequate, and so we upped those rates. And Sunfinal wasn't just helpful in opening bowls, but it also helped to provide an extra layer of defoliation. And then in initially with our APHIS and HVI, treatments 4, 5, and 6 were the best, but they also had the highest NEP content and highest fibers of highest level of immature fibers that were also fine. So these treatments caused the plants to, it was an aggressive defoliation treatment, and so the fiber development was affected. And then we didn't notice any differences among the HVI as far as strength was the only one that we noted a difference in. So that was our defoliation trial. We did a small variety trial each in Garan and Mishli, and we used those, or we wanted to use early maturing varieties since it is a cold growing region. We wanted to get it out as fast as possible while we still had those heat units. Our trials from 2019, we just did a variety trial, and so in 2019, we were able to take additional data. And we are actually able to harvest the crop twice and compare results from year and from first harvest and second harvest. We had eight varieties, and those were each planted on a 10-meter row. And then at the time of harvest, we only harvested 5-meter rows due to extreme weed pressure and skips in the row of planting where plants did not emerge. And We harvested them twice. So from Grand, we noted that Bomba was our lowest yielding variety, and then the first harvest had a higher lint percent, which you would expect. And then PG Lima actually had an identical harvest between the first harvest and the second harvest. The lint percent was pretty much the same. The early maturing varieties that we found were GW Esperia and May 344, and then our later maturing varieties were May 505 and PG Flash. And then you can see the pounds per acre on your left of lint and raw cotton. With our results in Gran taken from our HVIs, with our HVI readings, the second harvest, as you would expect, included more immature fibers, as those fibers did not have the time to complete maturity. The micronair was lower, and from the first sample, we were able to actually find many significant differences among the different varieties. And then for our aphis, which gave us a little bit more in-depth knowledge on what kind of readings we were able to see. So we saw May 455 and PG Lima were among the highest yielding varieties, and then Bomba was among the lowest yielding varieties, and lint percents tended to decrease from the second harvest. Esperia is still among the earliest maturing varieties as seen in Michelin Grand, and then PG Flash was some of the later maturing varieties. May 455 and PG Lima were among high-yielding varieties, and Bomba was still among the low, so we didn't really see any much differences among region or between Garon and Michelin. It's pretty much the same. The lint percents tended to decrease second harvest, as in Garon. And then Esperia among the early maturing varieties, followed by Flash with the later maturing varieties. So not much change that we really saw. As far as micronair, it wasn't as good as in Garon. What the problem is in Michelin is a lot of brackish water and high saline problems, salinity problems, followed by extreme weeding pressure and a lack of weed control, as labor is not easily attainable in Michelin as it is in Garon. So all of the varieties except Bomba had micronair values that would actually receive discounts if they were marketed inside the United States. And then the fiber length and strength tended to improve from the second harvest. We are looking into that, and we will dive into that more with our research later on. Our aphis measurements revealed that quality appeared to improve from the second harvest. This is due to the bowls weren't open as long as from the first harvest, and so that second harvest wasn't out in the environment, getting rained on, taking sunlight in. So May 45 appeared to be the most adapted to those growing conditions initially, and then the fiber was among the best maturity in the short. It had a short fiber content from that variety. With our nitrogen fertilizer test, the main takeaway from the nitrogen fertilizer test is that the P200 that they're using right now is actually probably the best they have so far, and so additional research is what we're going to be going after. We used ammonium nitrate at the time of cultivation, and we cultivated that in, and then they knifed in liquid monoammonium phosphate with a knifing unit. So both applications were made again on our second trip over there, and that was at first bloom stage. As I said, the standard fertilizer programs for MKT was P200. There were a few major differences among nitrogen treatments. This is thought to be because the cotton is usually followed by potatoes, and so potatoes are grown first in the cotton. So we didn't really see many differences among the nitrogen treatments. And then P100 and 200 were our highest yielding varieties, our highest yielding treatments, and then our unfertilized control treatments are some of the lowest. At Amishli, the best fertilizer rates were 200 as the common practice, and then higher nitrogen rates tended to delay maturity, and so harvesting those, there was a lot of closed bowls, not mature fibers. So the favorable response would be P200 and 300. I'd like to thank AgroCenter for partnering with us, and then Texas A&M, and then Dr. Steve Haig, Dawn, and James. And I will open up for any questions. Azerbaijan approached Texas A&M to improve their cotton production, and so they were funding AgroCenter, and MKT funded the project to get data and basically have us run a test on how to any ways to improve their production of cotton. And so they funded it just to find. The question was, is who funded it and why? And why Azerbaijan? Well, Azerbaijan approached us, and that was just to improve their cotton production. Yes. Soil samples were not collected, as getting soil samples over on a plane is a little bit trickier than getting fiber samples.
Is there any way to test the samples?
We did have the soil samples tested. We just don't have those results back from 2019. We do have 2018, so. We believe so. They tend to over-fertilize, and so that's why we didn't see anything with nitrogen and phosphorus. It's probably one of the limiting factors. Yes. Any other questions? Thank you.